Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Time for us now to get into our Ask a Pastor segment. It's time for us to talk to Pastor Albany, who's our pastor this afternoon and this week. There's a whole week he'll be answering our questions. Since you have sent those questions, the pastor is here to answer those questions. And our pastor for this week and our Ask a Pastor is Pastor Zolile Albany. Good afternoon to you, Mfundi Sinda. Welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Our question for today, Mfundisi, is abortion always wrong, even in cases of rape or danger to the mother's life?
The question of abortion is a very tricky one. I think it's not a one-sided question where we have one definite answer. Firstly, ideally, in a situation where life is sacrificed for the sake of saving another. For instance, a mother chooses to allow the child to live and sacrifices her life, or chooses to then sacrifice the child of the life of the child for the sake of her life. It's a very bold on us when we decide if whether or not it is right. There's no clear-cut answer for it. Abortion is wrong, but there are certain instances where we have to admit the fact that we don't know if whether or not in the situation it is right. Or wrong, sorry, it is wrong. I don't know if that makes sense.
I'm trying to follow.
Okay, let me give you a clear-cut answer. Yeah. As Christians, we believe that abortion is wrong. In the case of a person that is raped, right? The act of rape is wrong. It is a violation of a person's power of choice and a violation of their body as well. That in itself is wrong. Now, if we then say that abortion is wrong, it does not mean that just because a person has been raped, right, that and the rape then ultimately leads to the person then conceiving a child out of that wrong act. The child is not wrong. The child is not evil. The act that was done to the parent was. Then getting rid of the child, aborting the child, will not, the fact that the child comes from an act that is wrong will not necessarily exempt the act itself. So it still makes it wrong, right? I think what we often at times struggle with is the fact that we have to accept that it is not our choice. So fundamentally, in as much as it might be wrong, it still does not take away the fact that the choice of aborting the child still belongs with the one who has been violated. I just want us to start there. Are you following that part, that train of thought?
I'm following. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. And then, in the act of, take for instance, during the act of giving birth, a mother's life is at stake. So it becomes the choice. Still, the choice then belongs to the parent. Now, whether or not it is wrong, it becomes another question, because we are no longer trying to decide if whether or not abortion is right in that particular situation. What we're trying to decide is whether or not would it be best for us to save the child and lose the mother, or lose the child for the sake of the mother, right? So there still the choice to be made there is not a matter of killing one for the sake of the other. It's just which life is savable at that particular point in time, because there have been instances. I think I tried reading up on it because I had received the questions, and I realized that it's not, as I said initially, there's no generic answer for it specifically, because in some instances you'll find that a mother is saved because nothing more, both lives could not be saved, so one of the two would have had to be saved. Now, in a situation where the mother is lucid and is able to make a choice, more often than not, you'll find the mother saying that, save my child, even if it might cost them their lives. In a situation where the mother is unable to make the choice, the husband would often at times choose to save the mother because he doesn't know the child at that particular point in time. So abortion is wrong. But there are instances where you'll find that in as much as it is wrong, it's not as easy as us saying it is right or wrong, but some situations would then call for us to make choices where we would have to choose what then seems to be wrong for the sake of saving life.
Do we have a biblical support for
it being wrong? Yes, yes.
All right.
How we perceive, how science has led us to perceive a child, right, that is in the womb of a mother, through the acts of biology, we would say that, no, it's not life. The child hasn't fully developed yet. They are still a fetus and so on and so forth. And so we'll have all these terms trying to take away or dehumanize what is already inside the mother, right? But when you read the Bible, you find that when God speaks about life or speaks about a human being or speaks about his children, for instance, when he speaks in the book of Jeremiah, when he speaks about Jeremiah, he says, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you, you know? When the Bible says thou shalt not kill, so when we look at abortion, we don't, and science doesn't necessarily look at it as killing per se, right? It's just merely removing a fetus, someone that hasn't necessarily been a child as of yet. They don't have rights in some instances that would then supersede the parent, right? But when God looks at us, even from inception, even before we are conceived, God still, we are human. And
so,
there is
sort
life.
Funis,
and so then therefore,
yes. Forgive me. I'm not quite sure if I understand the text you're referring to, because the text you're referring to does not speak about conception. It speaks about formation.
Yes. I know. So
formation and conception are two different concepts.
Pardon?
Formation and conception are two different things.
Sure.
So the closest interpretation from the original language, the original Hebrew, it does not speak to conception. It speaks to formation, the esareka.
Sure, that's
so
true.
So when you're talking about the verses saying before you were conceived, that is not what the verse says. It says before you were formed, and we need to establish when does a baby become formed. When is a baby formed? When was Isaiah formed? Because I would love to suggest that conception is one thing and the formation of a person is another thing.
Okay.
My question is, when you're suggesting that the text is saying before you were conceived, there was nothing before they were conceived.
Sure.
At the time, there was the seed and then there was the mother's egg. That's before they were conceived. Then the seed enters the egg, and within 4 days, the egg fertilizes, it closes up.
Okay.
And then the seed that is inside the egg begins to grow. That's what science is calling a fetus.
Okay.
And the fetus grows from a state of being an amoeba to developing body parts, to forming.
That's interesting though, because if you are to look at the concept of formation,
right,
it does not necessarily entail a particular part of the process, but the whole process as a whole. Right?
Well, we are talking about what Strong's is saying in 333-335. He's sure. talking about being molded. He's not talking. Sure. He's not talking about the spark that happens when one is conceived. He's not talking about conception at all. He's talking about, so the words he's using, Strong's wording there, is to mold into a, or form as a, or potter, to determine. So if it is not yet determined, that is not what the Bible is talking about. He says, I knew you before you were formed, before you were determined, before you were made into something. So, but conception is before that stage. So there's carnal knowledge, there's fertilization, that's conception. Is it?
I don't want to agree because
okay.
I want us to remember that how...
You're sounding a bit far...
Pardon?
Can you please come closer to your device? You sound a bit far now. Go ahead.
Sure. Can you hear me now?
Much better. Go ahead, Infunis.
Yeah. How we perceive formation, or rather the process of formation and how God perceives it, is different.
Okay.
Right. We can speak about formation based off of the fact that we can see that now we're forming the hand, we're forming the legs, and
right.
when God views it, He does not view it in that aspect because we view it based on our limitations, right? And based on our ability to form that which we are forming, right?
Okay.
And how then God views formation, He does not perceive it from our limitations, right?
Right.
But He views it from His ability because it doesn't have limitations. So before you were formed, and basically when we look at the act of forming, conception, right? I believe conception, and now this is based off the fact that now we have to look at it from the perspective of your view and mine, right? But what I believe, based off of the fact that notion of what formation is, it is the very spark of life,
right?
The very spark of the life is the beginning of the process for him.
Okay. So
that,
I want to take that. I want to follow your train of thought, Mfuni. So where do we get that? If Strong's is suggesting,
you said something that was very interesting,
right?
When you were speaking about formation.
Do you want me to reiterate it?
Please go back.
Okay. So I was suggesting from this, in terms of science, we are told that the first week or to 1 to 3 weeks is the initial development phase, which is where the spark forms and the egg closes and there's no other seed that can come in. All the other seeds are expelled from the body. Yeah, that's the first to the third week. And then fourth week, the embryo formation. Fifth week, the neural development happens. Sixth week, organ systems begin. Week seven, distinct features emerge. Week eight, heartbeat established. Week nine, taste buds form. Week 10, human-like appearance.
You touched on something that was, you didn't mention it now, but it's, formation is the beginning of the process where we are able to then see, right? You said something along those lines.
The human-like appearance, according to science, happens at week 10.
Pardon?
The formation of the appearance of a human happens in terms of week 10.
Sure. It's the appearance. That's the word that I like. Actually.
Right.
When it starts taking the shape of that which you are, because the appearance of a human being, in order for a person to appear as a human being, you need to have previous knowledge of what a human being looks like in order for them to appear like a human being. I don't know if that makes sense, but when God says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you.
Right.
This seems to be when God is speaking about that, right? He's relaying the fact that before the process of formation happened, I knew you. That means that the very essence of that person's being already existed in God's mind and perception before the person started to form.
So as a sperm, that's what you're suggesting. God knew you while you were still a sperm.
If you were a sperm, I don't know, because you're not dust, nor are you spirit, but you are the formation of the two.
So right? What I'm trying to establish, so when it says
I wouldn't necessarily say when you were a sperm. I'm just saying that the essence of who we are,
right,
the being, the person,
right,
that you are, was God knew you, right? You were perceived in His mind before you started forming in your mother's womb.
When was that, Mfundis?
Pardon?
Identified that stage, this before stage. I have identified week 1 to week 14, in my understanding. Are you saying before week 1, before the sperm hits the
before
egg?
Before you were formed. Oh, so you're speaking in terms of... here again, I'll come back to what I had initially said when we were speaking about form, right?
Right.
I said that what we then, or what science then defines as formation, né, is based off of our own limitations, not necessarily what God means by that, right? Because
I need you to just pinpoint, and I'm afraid we're running out of time. I need you to pinpoint this before stage.
I can't pinpoint the week, because remember, he says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you.
So when did we start forming?
Before the process happened in your mother's womb, I knew you. So it entails that before the process started in the mother's womb.
Before your father and your mother came together, he knew you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So in your father, you're still a seed. You're still a sperm. There is no egg in your father. So you're suggesting God knows all those millions and millions of seeds in your father's...
So
that's what you're referring to.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
So we know in terms of science that when the process is happening, where you are released from your father into your mother, there's thousands and thousands, if not millions, of seeds. Only one or two, if you are twins. If you're triplets, three. But the rest of the thousands are expelled.
Sure.
So effectively, they are aborted.
Okay, I'm listening.
No. That's exactly what I'm presenting to you, Mfundisi.
If you're suggesting that
we are fully what we are as seeds from our father's being, from our father's loins, that effectively means abortion happens every time. Every time my mother and my father come together and no seed gets into an egg, those thousands and thousands of seeds are aborted. So effectively, by your definition of formation, that effectively means God knows all these aborted beings. All these beings are aborted. When Jacob was coming together with Rachel and there was no baby coming out of that, all those seeds were being aborted.
You're not necessarily getting what I was saying. I said that you consist, you are not spirit, nor are you flesh, but you're a composition of the two. Without the two, there is no you, right?
I don't even want to follow that, Mfundis. I want us to just be clear on the text you quoted. If you're noticing me, I'm trying to hold on to the text, the Jeremiah 1:5 text.
I'm trying to go back to what the Bible says, right?
Yes.
When we look at go back to the book of Genesis, when God is creating humans, right? The Bible says when he was creating Adam, he molded him from the ground,
yes,
right? And then he breathed into his nostrils and the man became a living being.
Correct.
He became conscious, right? Mark Finney puts it like this. He says that 1 + 1 = 2. And so we only know of two when one and one comes together. But the moment you separate one from one, two ceases to exist.
I have no problem with that. I want us to speak to Jeremiah 1:5, where it says,
yes,
I knew you before. When you're going to identify the before state, you're saying the before is that it is the seed that is within my father's loins. And I have no problem with that. What then follows is, we have a biological necessity that only The maximum that we know are 12 babies born at the same time, though we've never seen them here in South Africa. Or was it octuplets? Eight. There were eight. Even though we've never seen those eight, but we are told the maximum time when a woman gave birth to children at the same time, there were eight. So if only eight make it inside the egg, the thousands and thousands of the others that were deposited by my father into my mother, they get aborted, which means abortion happens every time, every morning. Why do we have a problem? If God knows us as the seeds inside of our fathers, then God is not against abortion, because all the other thousands and thousands of seeds,
can I ask you something? Is yes, God for murder and killing?
No, God is not for murder. He's for killing.
I'm trying to follow your trail of thought. Actually, yes. I'm trying to lean more towards what you're saying when you're saying that God is not against abortion, right?
Because no, by your definition of this,
that's very important, because the natural processes of life is that we are born and then we die. That is the natural process of life.
Right.
We live. Some of us, we die because of disease. Some of us will die because of old age. Some are killed, but we know that killing is wrong, right? Because it's morally wrong. The question is, if then God allows us to die, does that mean that He's not against death, or not against us killing? Because if you are to use the same logic that you're using in terms of us being constantly aborted, more especially when we are looking at the system of life and the nature and how nature then goes about, right? The cells being dying consistently, right? And even when our parents come together, and in that one instance where life actually starts to happen, you are conceived, and then you make the decision to then abort the child. Do you understand?
So the same
decision that a person would make when they kill a person.
Let me throw one at you, Mfundis, using your logic.
I'm using yours.
No. I would respectfully suggest that is not mine. But I want to follow with the way you're putting it. We have seen times when God says you must kill.
Yeah.
So there are times when God is okay with killing. We have time God where instructed a genocide with the Amalekites. God was okay with killing, with that genocide there.
This is a very. I would have loved for us to have more time, because each and everything that we are basically talking about,
it brings about something else.
We're not discussing for the sake of, I guess, coming to an agreement, more especially on this particular thing. But what I will say is this, right? Killing is wrong, and I believe that abortion is us instigating murder. Okay. Do you understand? Because if we don't look at the conception part as the beginning of life and us stopping that process, as us seizing or being the variable that is outside, it would be a different case if, let's say, a process then takes place, right?
Right.
And then the child dies.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Not to say that it's wrong, but that's nature, right? And it's something that we don't have power over.
Yeah.
But the moment when we start to enter and make that decision to stop life, then we become a variable that is not necessarily included in that process, because we are choosing to disturb that process ourselves.
I hear you, and I believe
because of that, it is wrong.
Okay. We have exhausted our time. I've enjoyed learning from you nonetheless.
just so I know, we won't be able to touch on it again when we have the call.
No, I will call you later on, and then we can schedule a time where you can have a longer period, Mfundisi.
No problem, no problem.
Yeah.
I think it's very important that
I
we at least
understand. I understand,
get
Mfundisi.
to the bottom of it.
All
Thank you,
right.
though. Thank you so
Thank you
much.
very much. I appreciate it, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day.
No problem. Same to you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.